Once we've cut off the legs and the hands, then we'll deal with the poisonous head.
Even before he completed the thought, a hot, bright explosion split the night as a missile or an energy bolt finally reached the battery's innards. That first eruption was followed by two larger ones as the ammunition detonated. Chunks of burning wreckage flew in all directions, some pieces falling over the edge of the promontory in fiery groundward arcs. Kuros allowed himself a wide and satisfied grin before telling the attendant flight officer,
"Down. Have the pilot take us closer, within safety margins."
Moments later, the gunship dropped to 200 metres above the war-torn promontory. At that height, the craft began to attract some enemy fire, but it seemed half-hearted and uncoordinated. A mixture of explosive, frag and EMP missiles were falling among the mechs with greater accuracy now, and the infrared view was showing that their numbers were down to less than a score. Sensing victory, Kuros ordered his officers to prepare for a final push. Ground units moved up to forward positions on the promontory, now plunged into gloom, while the other gunships and flyers circled lower in the unceasing rain. Jump teams landed on the fortification unimpeded and from the balconies opened fire on the last defending mechs. Kuros smiled and ordered his gunship closer to the fortified facility to hover above it. He could already envisage the moment when he stepped down onto the paved area before the entrance. Alerts blinked on the enhanced overview. The combat mechs were on the move. In unison, they were leaping out from behind armoured shelters and shielding to charge straight towards the rear of the promontory. The troops dug in their open fire, pouring a stream of energy bolts and HE rounds into the oncoming machines, aided by airborne units and the heavy weapons crews on the ridge. Almost half of the mechs were brought down or destroyed outright by the time the survivors reached the Brolturan positions, which they either leaped over or swerved around, their metal carapaces gleaming in galloping precision, their taloned limbs pounding the ground, ignoring the troops as they dashed up the rocky slope heading north. Kuros watched the frantic retreat with an amused contempt. Either some consensus or collective self-preservation had been triggered, or their master had ordered them to flee, confident that the facility fortifications would foil any assault. Later, once the hegemony had fully tightened its grip on this world, he would have them all hunted down. More alerts appeared, sidebar sensor displays tracking a spectrum of other variables. They indicated energy spikes at a number of locations inside Giant Shoulder, running in a line from the tapered, sea-facing point westwards towards the ridge at the rear. Suddenly, more spikes appeared, this time from either flank of the promontory, and he heard a sequence of thunderous cracks. An awful suspicion formed in his mind, and he was about to order the gunship to gain height when the sensors picked up another big energy spike from the rear, close to the ridge, and, on the hollow panel, he saw the ground there explode upwards, followed by another explosion and another. Immense eruptions of rock and dirt, as if the rocky massif was being hammered from beneath by something trying to escape. The force of multiple blasts was sending stone debris flying high.